Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase.
Eli Manning, Ole Miss alum, longtime New York Giants starting quarterback, spoke publicly for the first time earlier today since being benched in favor of Giants rookie Daniel Jones. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, the story published Monday at SI.com under the headline, "There's More History to Antonio Brown's History." It further painted a disturbing picture of a football star who just last week was accused of sexual assault by a woman from right here in Memphis. The man who reported and wrote the story, it's Robert Klimko. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Hey, Robert, first things first, from one reporter to another, I just want to compliment you on the reporting that I know goes into a story like the one you published a couple days ago on Antonio Brown. It's not easy to chase down all those documents, to make all those phone calls, to get all of those people to speak to you the way those people talk to you. You obviously put in a lot of hours. So let me just start by asking, how long did you work on this Antonio Brown story before you published it?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we got a tip about 20 days ago from someone in the training community who said that Antonio Brown hadn't been paying his bills, and that if we did a little digging, there were a lot of people that felt that Antonio Brown owed them money, and there was also there had already been a couple lawsuits out there to that effect. So I started calling up people, really, that Antonio had tagged on Instagram as, you know, providing him any kind of service, and also contacted the lawyers for the people that have filed the lawsuits, because we figured that if a lawyer is in the press for filing a lawsuit for unpaid wages against Antonio Brown, then maybe somebody else might reach out to that lawyer to try to get him to work on their case. And that was actually the case with three of the lawyers that we talked to, that they had additional people that had reached out and they were in the process of filing additional lawsuits. So that's how it started with a tip. And then as bizarre as it seemed that Antonio Brown wouldn't pay for something like a $700 painting to a charity, or a $2,000 installation of some piranhas in his home, we checked it out and it rang true.
Can you make sense of that? Why somebody who has made as much money as he's made would be so committed to, for lack of a better verb, stiffing one person after another out of, relatively speaking, small amounts of money that he owes them? Like, what is the rationalization here, or is it simply we're just dealing with a different dude?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different dude. I mean, a lot of people felt like it was some measure of disrespect because, you know, $2,000 is nothing to him. And, you know, one of the guys who, the fish tank guy who installed the piranhas and then had to come get them once AB let them all die, he was saying that, you know, Antonio Brown, while he's waiting on $2,000, is buying a Richard Mille watch in Paris. So, you know, the guy's got the money, he's got the means. It's just that these people feel that there's a disrespect factor at work here.
Talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. The most notable thing in the story, I think at least, is that you have another woman, a second woman, accusing Antonio Brown of sexual misconduct. She's an artist who was doing work at AB's home, and her story is similar to one of Brittany Taylor's stories in the sense that it involves Antonio Brown standing behind her and acting inappropriately, perhaps criminally, in a sexual way without her knowledge or consent. What if anything, does that mean to you? That her story has some of the same aspects of the one story that we've heard from Brittany Taylor in the lawsuit?
Yeah, you know, there's that aspect of it, and then there's also, you know, recruiting somebody to work for you and then making a sexual advance. You know, that so that you have some sort of power or sway over that person. You know, that that's what people who study rape, they say that it's most often somebody that you know and somebody that has some sort of leverage over you. You know, she didn't file any charges or call the police because Antonio Brown didn't touch her, but her friend, this artist, sent the lawsuit to her, the Brittany Taylor lawsuit, when it came out, because the circumstances sounded so familiar to what she had told them happened with Antonio Brown back in 2017. Even still, you know, she didn't reach out to us. You know, we actually found her through the foundation that I mentioned, this charity for literacy and children, where Antonio Brown had pledged to buy a $700 painting that this woman had donated to the charity. And then he got her phone number and got her to come over and paint a mural of himself at his home. And then that job got cut short when she didn't, him being naked behind her wasn't well received. And then he never paid the $700 to the charity. Like, this guy is so bad at tying up loose ends. It's incredible.
Incredible. I'm talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. I guess whether Antonio Brown is a rapist is up for debate at this point, and perhaps we shouldn't even debate such a thing. But it's pretty clear, regardless, he's a bad guy. Multiple women have accused him of sexual misconduct. Multiple women have accused him of physical violence. Multiple people, lots of people, as we've detailed, have accused him of bad business dealings. Obviously, he's an immensely talented football player, which is why he's got a job. But is there any thought that, you know, around the league, that maybe, even if he's not a rapist, that maybe, just maybe, an NFL franchise simply should not want somebody like this representing them? Or is it just as simple as his talent trumps everything, at least for now?
Yeah, you know, I think a team like the Patriots, you know, probably feels like most of this stuff happens in the offseason, and if they can keep him on the straight and narrow in the building, they only have to deal with him for 1 year, and then they'll pay him several million dollars, and then in the offseason, they'll just unleash him on the city of Miami, and it's, you know, no sweat off their back. It's a league that enables people that are extremely talented and can help you get to that ultimate goal, which is the Lombardi Trophy. And they do nothing to sugarcoat that, and the only mitigating factor is the league office, and Roger Goodell has the responsibility to try to force players to represent the field well. That's why they sat down with Brittany Taylor for 10 hours. That's why they'll request an interview with Antonio and try to get some sort of closure here and some sort of understanding of what happened.
You know, it's been reported that the Patriots didn't know about the potential of this lawsuit in advance of signing Antonio Brown, but I know you don't believe that because, as you sensibly pointed out on Twitter, it defies logic to suggest that an agent like Drew Rosenhaus would keep this from somebody as powerful as Bill Belichick, given how often those two men have had to work together in the past and how often, presumably, they're going to have to work together in the future. Plus, and I know you've seen this, or I'm sure you've seen this, there was social media chatter about this lawsuit before the Raiders even released Antonio Brown. Why don't more people seem to understand that? Why are people willing to just believe that the Patriots didn't know when that doesn't actually make much sense?
Yeah, I mean, when you win 6 Super Bowls in 10 years, I think you get a lot of people who are willing to drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, to think that Drew Rosenhaus wouldn't disclose that sort of information and say, hey, there's a sexual assault lawsuit coming down the pike, but we think we can beat it, it's silly. You know, I don't know why anybody with the Patriots would, you know, leak it to an NFL.com reporter that Kraft didn't know, you know, and I guess to provide some sort of cover for Kraft and Patriots sponsors should this entire thing go south, but it's beyond the pale.
Talking to Robert Klimko from SI.com. He's on Twitter at Robert Klimko. He is the person who wrote the incredible Antonio Brown story that published at SI.com on Monday. If you haven't checked it out yet, you should. Antonio has been accused of criminal behavior. He denies it, but there's no denying he is guilty of irrational behavior. He seems, in simple terms, from a distance, obviously, unstable, with lots of examples to back this up. Among them, an allegation that you detailed in the story, which is him... the cops being called to his Florida apartment because he's hurling furniture off of a 14th floor balcony. Like, a young child was nearly hit. That's something I think, like, only a crazy person would do. And so I guess I'd ask you this. When you talk to people around the league who know Antonio Brown, is there a concern that he's not just difficult or easily agitated, but that he's actually, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, like mentally unwell. Is there a thought that he could be dealing on a very basic level with mental illness?
That's, you know, that's an assumption a lot of people have made. It's very difficult to get at that, obviously, because it's such a personal thing. It's such a private thing. And also, his entourage, the people that are around him every day, is constantly rotating. There's been no constant person in his life that can speak to how his behavior has changed outside of Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus is the only person that stays in his orbit because Drew is not sitting there giving Antonio advice on how to fix his life. They're beyond that. It's, oh, all right, I'm going to put out these fires as they come. And so when that's the only person that's in your life on any regular basis, you know, how can anybody tell, you know, what you're going through or what you're dealing with, or tell you that you need to go get some sort of help? I don't want to speculate. I can't say whether or not he's dealing with any mental illness right now, but I know that a lot of people that used to be close to him are worried about that.
I'm talking to Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. Back to Brittany Taylor for a moment. You mentioned that she spent 10 hours yesterday with the NFL. Is there any thought that she might have more evidence than what's actually in the civil suit? Because, like I've said already, it seems clear Antonio Brown's a bad guy, but it also seems, I think, clear to me that unless she's got more than what we saw last week, this looks like a he said, she said deal that probably doesn't go much further than where it's at right now. Do we know if she's, so to speak, placed all her cards on the table yet?
Well, you know, the only cards that I could see that she wouldn't have placed on the table would be testimony, affidavits from people that were there and knew the relationship and were familiar with their dealings that they were not able to interview as part of evidence for the lawsuit. And, of course, if Allegheny County had been able to file criminal charges, which they can't because the two-year statute of limitations has passed, then they would have called some of these people to the stand and forced some of these people who were, you know, reluctant or unwilling to talk. But now that it's a civil case, there's really no legal authority to do so. So I would guess that all of her cards are on the table, and the NFL's recourse right now is to take that 10 hours of testimony, try to piece together a timeline, and then talk to Antonio Brown and see if he lies to them.
I'm wrapping up here with Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. Last thing before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. I know you're not a fortune teller. I know that you can't predict the future, but you've done an incredible amount of reporting on this subject. You're probably better equipped than almost anybody to have an idea for where this goes from here. Is Antonio Brown in the NFL a year from now? Do you anticipate his off-the-field behavior, which is well-documented, will ultimately lead to a professional undoing or a personal undoing or maybe both?
Yeah, like you said, it's so hard to guess. And honestly, you know, when we published this story, we had five now people reach out to us with more claims and accusations about Antonio Brown. So, you know, who knows what's going to come out here in the next 6 months now that the floodgates have opened on this guy. If he continues to play at the level that he played in his debut for the Patriots, I think there's going to be a place in the league for him for a long time, unless some sort of criminal charge forces the NFL to act.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. If you haven't read the story yet, go check it out, si.com. It is on Antonio Brown and all of the things that come with Antonio Brown. You did a tremendous job reporting it, tremendous job writing it. I know you've been talking about it nonstop. I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me.
Thank you, guys, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers, indeed. I'll see you. That's Robert Klimko from Sports Illustrated. The story really was well done, and it seemed obvious to me, having done big, thoroughly reported stories before, back when I actually wrote consistently for a living, that there's no way he just started working on this last week when Brittany Taylor's lawsuit was made public, or even when Antonio Brown was released from the Raiders. There was too much in there that it seemed like, even when we thought things were maybe probably going to be okay with Antonio Brown in Oakland, even before he called his general manager a cracker and threatened to hit him, I assumed Robert must have been working on this story way back then. And he confirmed that he was. It was, you know, 20 days ago that they started working after getting tips one after another about the behavior of Antonio Brown. And like I said, this guy checks every box. I mean, when you've had multiple women accuse you of sexual assault, multiple women accuse you of physical violence, and a long list of people say that you promised to pay them in exchange for their services, whether it's, you know, physical therapy, dieting plan, or painting a mural in your home, and got stiffed almost without exception, time and time and time again. Like, you're a bad person. There's no getting around it. And like I said earlier in the week, if you wanted to try to figure out why he's a bad person, like, we could explore that another time. You know, he grew up poor. He grew up without his father. He spent part of his teenage years homeless, bouncing from one teammate's couch to another. And I've read enough about all of that stuff to understand that it can have real long-term negative impacts on people, not just football players, all sorts of people. But at some point, like, you made it, and it's time to break out of it. And if you can't do it on your own, I'm confident the NFL or the New England Patriots be happy to put you with the best counselors and structure, who, you know, people who would help you work through these things. And yet he is, at least according to all the reporting, forever resisted any of that. Like, doesn't seem to recognize that, you know, the people in Pittsburgh weren't the problem. The people in Oakland aren't the problem. And whenever he has issues in New England, that they're not the problem. Like, if the problems keep following you around, you're probably the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think, and I talked to Robert about this, the most interesting aspect between the artist story of sexual misconduct as it pertained to Antonio Brown and Brittany Taylor's is that very specific act is consistent in both of their stories. Brittany Taylor says, Antonio Brown was standing behind me and pleasuring himself without my knowledge. Now, you can say she's making that up. Some people do. Antonio Brown does. But when you've got a total independent source, another woman who has been around Antonio Brown, who was, just like Brittany Taylor, hired by Antonio Brown to come into his home on payroll, and she's got a similar story. I was bent over painting the bottom of a mural on his wall, and Antonio Brown was behind me, butt naked. To me, that says something to me. I don't know if it means Antonio Brown's a rapist. I don't know if it means both women are telling the truth. But when two people have the same story about you, Ben and I talked about this earlier in the week, and the same story is that story, it does lend credibility to the story, I think. You call one person a liar, but when two people who don't know each other have a very similar story about somebody, again, it doesn't mean they're both telling the truth, but it does give the story, at least in my opinion, more credibility than it otherwise would have. Eli Manning spoke earlier today publicly for the first time since being benched in favor of Daniel Jones. He handled it gracefully, as I think most assumed that he would. We'll get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.